Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, this is Old School, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Old School brought to you by the folks of Sand Hills Global. You can, you know, whatever it is you want to do.
Internships.
Right.
Career opportunities. Located here in the beautiful, mild, high 80 temperature of Lincoln, Nebraska, is their global headquarters. You can go and apply at sandhills.jobs. We appreciate it.
Get them. Get them.
Appreciate it.
Get them. Get them. 402-464-5685. Sarner Heyman text line, Honda Lincoln hotline. If you want to add to the show, you want to comment, you want to contribute, you have questions, we got it. Have at it. Please do. And the Sarner Heyman live video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter live. Twitter live. We're up on Twitter live so you can see what's going on in the studio. You will see Big Slim in for Rico. Mark Onweiler.
Eventually, if I put myself on there.
Big Slim. Yeah, get yourself
there
in
there. There we are. There we are.
Get yourself in there. You know, you're going to have to tell me the secret on the facial hair, because your facial hair grows at a pace that is not normal to most human beings.
Yeah, I'm really trying to decide what to do with it, because I don't want to shave every day.
Right.
But it grows too fast to not shave every day.
Right. So,
but I kind of got tired of having the beard.
You got to trim it up every day, man.
Yeah. That takes work. Yeah.
Do you not want to spend the time or the money to constantly trim your beard?
You know, it's not even that. It's the time to clean up after I trim it. All the tiny little hairs in the sink.
You don't have a space for that?
No, we only have the one bathroom. I know.
That's tough.
We made a mistake when we bought our house. I didn't prioritize that high enough.
Yeah, beard hair is a thing. So
for sure, yeah.
I mean, no time set aside, no 5 minutes where you can
There's time for that, but what I've found is I never clean up the sink well enough to where my wife won't go in and say, what, you didn't clean the sink?
Fair. Fair. Because that's a thing that exists everywhere. No matter how well I clean the bathroom, I have not cleaned the bathroom well enough.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And then they be like, wonder why you don't want to clean the bathroom.
Well, because then you're not going to be happy anyway. So I should just let it go. Like, what's the phrase from the house party? A beat down's a beat down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't fight it. Just take it and just move on.
Right. Right. It's like, okay, you're not going to be happy with it. So just go ahead and do it, and then do that. There's some context on content on social media, where there's a woman who tells the story of why men are the way they are and how to help women, like, understand that when he goes quiet, it's just that he knows that no matter what he says, he's still going to hear more about it. So he's just quiet. Begin with, I'm like, this woman is a genius. She's right. Giving up the playbook.
Yeah, she knows it.
But the problem is, and it's not just women or just people. It's not even like a significant other or partner or whatever. Just people in general. They could have the playbook, but they refuse to read the playbook.
That is true, Jay.
Just like some football players.
I was gonna say, are we going to turn this into a transition?
The truth. We spend a lot of day, you know, rightfully so, on Vince Scully. It's time. Hey, listen here, man. I always say this. Time waits for no man. For nobody. You know what I'm saying? It is now August 4th. I don't know if the game's on the 26th or 27th, but at the end of the day, you are about 2 weeks away from the biggest game in probably – it is crazy because, you know, being a part of Coach Osmond's first national championship game, that was held as the biggest game in his coaching career. And at that time, it was like if Nebraska didn't finally win a national championship, it would have never happened again. He ended up winning 3 out of 4 years. But, you know, this is the biggest game in school history. It is because it's a huge year. It's an even bigger opportunity. The pressure's there. And there's an overwhelming theme of, you know, I think like around here, prior to this staff, probably even a little bit when, you know, late in Bo's like tenure, definitely when Callahan was here, I think like that it just became a thing to not embrace the pressure or the expectations. And it's not, and really now is, if you do that for so long, you know, it becomes like subconsciously in your DNA. You know what I mean? Like, so if you just keep putting it out there, like, oh, you know, yeah, everybody else is good, so let's just be okay, you know? So in order, only way to get out of it, you have to actually speak embracing the pressure and the expectations into existence. And the reason why I try to look at other professional sports, look at other coaches, how they're successful, and see how they make or how, what makes them tick in general and how they lead other players. One, because I coach, but then two, just to understand different teams' philosophy and coaches.
Just some psychology behind that.
Right, yeah. And just how different people go about handling their business. So I was watching – I love European soccer. I think it's ultimately I'd love to go to a big match, but obviously they have some serious issues over there for people that have pigmentation in their skin, you know. The players, I'm sure if I'm over there, they roll deep over there. I don't want to get hemmed up over there, but I want to attend the event. So I was watching it about, you know, there's Tottenham, Man City, and there's a new one out, and it's a team that was really, really good, and they had Therion Henry. It was where he kind of made a name for himself. He has a statue out there, and they've been on a, you know, down slope. They have a lot of young players, right? A young coach that was a very, very successful player in his own right, came under or grew up in – he's a young coach, but grew up in his coaching career under Pep, who's a really – he might be one of the best coaches of all time in European soccer history. Now he's there, and he's dealing with – the fan base. As soon as they lose, they haven't scored, it's over, turn the lights off. Well, he broke it down and he explained to the players why he does this. So he got down on their level. And it was like a kind of make or break game for them. It would have been the first time in 100 years that a team had started 0-4 and hadn't scored a goal. So he broke down that he was born with a heart issue. He was never supposed to play sports, but he exceeded expectations when everybody doubted him. Obviously, you know, correlated to the fans. But then one of the things that Henry said is, you know, us as past players are tired of the expectations being down and no pressure. He's like, it has to be the exact opposite. He's like, we are who we are, and we need to be who we should be. And it needs to be something that you need to deal with. Now, do you get there overnight? No, but you get there by embracing it. And you know, last time I talked to one of the players on the team, and he's like, I want to prove everybody wrong. I was like, no, you need to prove yourself and everybody that believes in you right. Forget proving people wrong. You're going to be doing – you could do that in everything. Just – you're here. And so now you need to prove everybody right, including yourself – by embracing and setting the expectations to the standard that you need to live by every day, because that's what really gets you to that next level.
My big question for the Huskers has been, continues to be, what is the standard? Like, whether it's a team standard or program standard, because the program standard is higher than the team standard, the individual standard which has to match the program standard.
Yeah, it's got to go from top to – it's got to be from
– right, like each one has to fold naturally into the other.
It's kind of like a it's kind of like a beautiful, like, waterfall. You know, you see the ones that are like rapids, and when they go over like a bump and they splash everywhere, this has to be a beautiful one where it kind of just rolls over, because
we're asking teenagers and 20-year-olds to match decades of standard that they don't understand and that they weren't a part of and they're being separated from. Like, that's the part that this is the weird part of it, Jay.
Yeah.
You're asking.
You're literally fighting. You're literally fighting. It'd be like going into a box. I love boxing too. So it'd be like going into a boxing match and fighting like Muhammad Ali as like a hologram.
Yeah.
And he's just dancing around and just dotting my eye, just hum, hum, hum. You know what I mean? And then just everything that I'm doing, I'm actually spinning my wheels.
You're doing what you know.
Well, first of all, it's going to be pure chaos.
Right.
Because it's like fighting somebody in the dark.
Yeah.
But one of the things I always tell people, like, when I came to Nebraska, I didn't know. I learned. I embraced it, which I think they have a lot of guys on the team that are like that. But from the top, which was, you know, say, I don't know who the president and all that. Yeah, you know, I had no idea that chancellors and all them. I just thought the AD kind of ran the whole deal.
Right. So we
were segmented. You know, we were in the football stadium. So just from Bill Byrne, obviously to Coach Osmore, to the assistant coaches, to the GAs, to the equipment staff, people that, you know, to training staff, all the way down to the janitors, there was just a standard. It was just, that's just the way it was. It was like, you know, you do your best. You take pride in you, all the things, you know, you think about. And then once you get back to that, you do it. And I think it's kind of the chicken and the egg thing with Nebraska. They know it. You can say it. Would I probably do some stuff differently, you know, as far as it? Maybe because I talk to other people that I know that played at other universities that work with them or just kind of have a different situation in order to get them to really kind of like warp speed it. You know, I guess I could say it,
yeah.
You know, I think the more that you're there, the more it's around you. It just, like I said, it becomes a part of you. Yeah. But if it's like here, there, everywhere, it's like, it doesn't have the effect. Right. Here's an example in pros. Right. So I go from Nebraska, where we obviously won a lot, to Buffalo. Jim Kelly wasn't the quarterback. Daryl Talley wasn't on the team anymore. Steve Tasker was retired. All the guys that were a part of it, you know, when they kind of – even the lean times, but even, you know, when they went on their run and to get back, were around all the time. And Jim Kelly – you know, talk about what it's like, what it means to play in Buffalo, and explain to me to get me to feel and understand. You're not just playing for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I'm here, Jim Kelly. You know, X, Y, and Z. But these people here that you're playing for, it's as close to college as you're going to get. Versus he compared it to the Jets or something like that. So once you kind of like have those guys around and see them, they're there to kind of like push you, right? They're there to kind of advise you. They're there to kind of be that, you know, on your shoulder. But the more that it really got me into loving Buffalo probably a lot faster than I actually would. And so that's why when I talk about when I got traded, I was like, felt like I was part of Buffalo, and I was hoping to be like a Daryl Talley where you play 8-10 years in Buffalo. You know what I mean? Kind of like how the Patriots are, where you think of like, yeah, if I could get a contract that I could play 3-4 years instead of 2 because of the salary cap numbers, I'd do it because I love it here. You know what I'm saying? And so those are things that are important. Now, can you correlate that to, like, wins and losses? Like, two wins a year? No, but I can tell you it'll correlate to consistency.
Well, it keeps you connected to it. There is a commitment. The emotional vestige.
Yeah.
Rather than just the financial.
And the – yeah. What it does is it keeps the finger on you. Like –
And you're not constantly starting over.
Right, but it keeps the finger on you. It's no different than, like, the Redskins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I grew up a Redskin fan. I always talk about watching the Redskins in the Pittsburgh. They would scrimmage every – that was like me and my grandma's deal.
Yep. Loved it.
So when – but
– Loved it.
The Charles Manns and all those guys, when they were done playing, you'd see they – like, those guys knew. That's why Redskins fans are no different than Nebraska fans, because – they know when an owner is not doing right, it's trickling down to the players. You know what I'm saying?
And the players start to dismount from it because it does. They're not allowed to be in their greatness.
Right.
And it's a thing. So when it comes to Nebraska, they've got a 10-year time. It's a very short piece of space for them to work in. And they've got to be comfortable, and they've got to know what is expected and what is not accepted.
Yeah, I think in a short space. I think they have, I would say, true.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I said it last year, and I said it in a roundabout way, but obviously this year I think they have true – and I think the best true intrinsic leaders list on the surface, and I primarily on defense because that's, you know, where I got to hang out a little bit. I think that this true intrinsic leadership is there. I think those guys have learned a lot. I think they had the blessing and the not-so-fun time of watching other people work in these spaces. What works, what didn't. They always have been open to advice and camaraderie with older players, with former players. But then also I think it was good for them to wait their time and understand and go through another season. I don't know, go through another season. I mean, granted, 9-3 would have been great, but to go through another season and not meet expectations and understanding the difference between participating and doing. When you participate, it can look like you're doing it. But when you're doing it, you live it.
It's the fake hustle.
Yeah.
And then it shows up in the results. Like, we hustle. Yeah, you fake hustle, and that's why the results are what
it's the difference. The difference is, are you a hard worker or do you work hard? A hard worker is going to do it every single day, no matter what. You know what I mean? A hard worker, that's what he's going to do. It's in his DNA. A person that, like, works hard was, like, what a coach can do. You can set up drills. I can have you run gassers. I can, you know, run 50 million plays. And then while you're here, you work hard. But what do you do afterwards? And so I think that they'll be fine. I think this game is huge in the sense of the most important thing is just to get the win. It is. Now, yeah, it's kind of, again, fighting an unknown objective, because if Nebraska goes over there and say they win 30-27, right, by the time they land, people will complain how it looked, right? But then if Nebraska goes over there and wins, say, 45-10, then they'll say, well, that's what they should do. But in reality, is the most important thing is the win. And I'd say to the first person that would be calling in on the Honda and Lincoln hotline at 402-464-5685, or text in at the Sartor-Hayman text line at 402-464-5685. 5685. That's a tongue twister for me. But I would say to them, would you rather have an ugly win per se or an ugly loss? Then they would probably come, well, then I would probably have to hit the dump button, cause, right? Because I would always like an ugly win versus an ugly loss.
Because there were several beers, and it's affected the conversation.
Well, just it, period. Right, right. Well, just I'm saying, you don't talk to me about a loss when we won.
Right.
You know, don't try to act like we lost when we won. And then secondly, when they say
– Well, Mr. Foreman, that also means that you can't talk to me about winning after you've lost.
Correct. Because at the
which end, is such a part of the fabric.
Now we jumped to point three. Now I'm going to finish number two. Number two is when you say, well, that's what you should have done, and this is what you did last year against them, so this is the expectation. Okay, well, then that's fine. But then I would say, well, how many years has it been that we haven't done what we're supposed to do? So pump your brakes there. So ultimately, going over there for however many days that they're going and coming back with a victory is all that matters. And then now you're talking about – don't talk about winning or the perception of doing good and winning when you lost. That's what I referred to last year. Like, granted, you don't want the mantle of being the best 3-9 team in NCAA history, right? Because there's different ways that you got to the one score loss, right? You could be down by 14.
There's a way.
Well, you could be down by 10 and then score late. Mm-hmm. You still – you score late with 10 seconds left. You still – you were down by 10. Right. You know what I mean? So ultimately, you get to winning, get on a roll, and then a lot of things can happen. I mean, look, a team that's been a thorn in their side, Minnesota, part of the reason why P.J. Fleck just got re-upped is because of that magical season a few years ago. They could have very well been 0-3. They could have been 1-2. They definitely got lucky to be 3-0. If the linebacker from South Dakota State, I don't know who he is, played cover three like you'd probably see people play out at Seacrest and make a tackle, they lose that game against South Dakota State at home. I think it was their first game.
I think that's right.
Then they go out to Fresno, and I think they might have won in overtime. Now, that, mind you, this is with a plethora of running backs and three NFL receivers. They could have lost to Fresno. And Georgia State, I think, had them on the ropes at home, and they come back victory. But they go 3-0, the winning feeling. Then all of a sudden they take off. They have a couple upset victories, dip a little bit, and then they have the program in short-term changing victory against Penn State at home on national TV to win that one game. Then they go to – you know, then now the now that everything's changed, now everybody's antennas are up when you're listening. Now they're understanding what the expectations is, and then they really know what's the difference between winning and losing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's that card analogy. You are what the books say you are.
That's what Bill Parcells used to always
right,
say.
Right, right. Like
you are who your record says you are.
Yeah. Like you can try to put lipstick on the pig. It's still a pig.
Oh, he told us that.
He came and told us that one time,
and when we were in Houston, you know, and he was like, "Yeah, you guys got a good defense and stuff." He's like, "But you're not great." Oh man! He's like, you guys are great because if you guys are great, you guys wouldn't be instead of being 7-9, you guys would be 10-6.
Yeah, there's a because there's
a big difference between winning three more games and not losing.
Well, they would talk about it. I mean, Joe Gibbs would say there's a way. Like he would say it constantly. Whatever friction you face, there's a way to get through it. We know that. We know that there's a way that bad teams and less talented teams still win. There's a way. There's a way for you to get in the starting lineup. There's a way for you to get the big contract. There's a way for you to win games. You're either doing it or you're not, and you make excuses.
And you got to do it for a long term. But I think Nebraska will be fine. I mean, as long as they get over there, you know, healthy and, you know, they're old saying healthy and happy. Go over there, and happy means with your mindset of – happy, not to be there, but happy that you're going to play football and do the, you know, and complete the job, which is to win an odd game. But maybe, you know, I always try to look at it. Yeah, it's an odd game across in Ireland. First game of season generally is extremely hot. It's going to be mild.
60s or 70s.
I mean, you know, but it, you know, it's not going to be. You're not playing at home where you know 80,000, 90,000 people. So, you know,
but it'll be a home game, though. I think it's fair to say they're going to be more Nebraska fans there than Northwestern fans.
Yeah, yeah, but it'll be weird when there's only 12,000 of them.
Yeah.
It won't be as loud as...
It's not like when they took over Northwestern and they had pretty much
50,000
people. So it's going to be... But I think a game like this kind of works to Nebraska's advantage because the distractions are going to be less and you can kind of get them to lock in a little bit tighter because of the time change, right? So if I really think I need to kind of shut off social media and I don't need to say, hey, give me, take a big old bucket and put all your phones in here, well, guess what helps me? The six-hour time difference. And I need you to be asleep, right? And I'm only going over there with, 85 guys, I think, or whatever?
Don't know. Apparently, they can take as many as they want.
Okay, well, I mean.
Can they dress as many as they want? Or
I would imagine that you don't dress everybody because – the confusion of numbers and multiplicity.
But maybe everybody can, messaging, I'm just saying 85 guys. I mean, generally, you know, the travel team. So you'd like him to be in there. And then I think the message needs to be like, look, dude, we're going to go over and probably see some stuff, right? It's a different kind. It's a once in a lifetime trip. Embrace it. And then, you know, ultimately we're here to, you know, win the game. You know, there's two ways to look at it. Go over there and give them a once-in-a-lifetime experience because that's what college football should be about, right? And then the other thing is like, go over there and make it pure about business. So I think Nebraska's chose the latter. But I'm sure they'll get to see the countryside or whatever and experience enough of Ireland.
I think we've
– Ireland becomes a lot better when you win.
All of it. Like, none of it matters. But on the other side of it, I think we're missing the point as well, that Northwestern has a guy – as well. Like, they've got a dude. Coach Fitz isn't gonna, that's the
Listen,
he's not going over nonsense.
This is what people don't understand when you hang your hat on, I'll tell you this, that the schedule I think is easy, right? It's set up timing wise who you're playing, opponent, first eight games is pretty gettable, the last four is a gauntlet. That's fine, you know, but it's a better schedule than you've been playing. But here's what people don't understand about the Big Ten is I think top to bottom, they're the best coaches in the nation, you know. And Fitzgerald, I mean, to get to talk to him, one is because I watched – it was crazy. I watched him in high school when they were trying to recruit me, but – his mentality is they're not going to back down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he was embarrassed. I know he gave up a lot of kudos. But from a linebacker standpoint, I know when he's saying they had a great game plan, they played well, he's puckered up tight internally about it because for him to kind of say it, he's been living that for a while. To get embarrassed. I mean, not a lot of teams beat them like Nebraska did. Explosive play, you know, physical play to the point that where, you know, some guys on the Northwestern looked like they were kind of trying to tap out a little bit. You know, that was one of the games I felt like Nebraska was playing to the echo of the whistle, which is great.
But you don't think that he's going to take 9 months of that venom?
Well, that's what I'm saying. When he's driving in, Northwestern, from his house, well, I'm sure he's thinking. I mean, but at the end, the first game's always the hardest because they've gotten to prepare for you for so long. Now, what helps Nebraska is that we do have new staff, some new players, and new offensive scheme. So it's not as easy. But ultimately, he's going to try to get back to what made Northwestern always be a surprise in the Big Ten Championship, which is the small things and change of mentality.
I'll ask you, does Northwestern under Pat Fitzgerald have back-to-back bad years?
They haven't, which the whole Big Ten needs to be on alert. But I think that they don't have the roster to kind of do it. But I don't think they'll be as bad as they were last year.
I'm just going to say, before we go to break, some breaking news. Nebraska track and field head coach Gary Pepin announces his retirement. He has led the program for 42 years. He announced his retirement on Thursday, bringing a close to one of the most successful coaching careers in collegiate track and field history. In his 42 years as the head coach of the Husker track and field program, Pepin's list of accomplishments includes 3 national championship teams, 73 conference team titles, 59 individual NCAA champions, 639 All-Americans, 597 individual conference champions, and 6 Casita Academic All-Americas. He is a Hall of Fame member. Was named to the named Big 12 and Big 10 Coach of the Year a combined 28 times, and the Region Coach of the Year 11 times. His statement goes as follows, and we'll do this as we go to break. I want to express my gratitude to the athletic department administration for the support of the program over these years. The success it has achieved would not have been possible otherwise. I'm grateful for the hard work and the many hours put in by the Husker track and field officials, organization, and, of course, the hundreds of student-athletes that are a part of the Husker family. We'll talk about it more over the course of old school, but we'll throw it to break. Gary Pepin, well
wow.
done.
Wow, I mean, just.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
Legendary.
Man, they're, you better give that man his flowers. Mark will tell us what's up next on Old School.
And oh, 937 that song ain't coming on.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.